Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
You hear the signature. Talking Sports Clubman is officially on the air.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, America. Today is Monday, August the 22nd. You are officially Talking Sports 12 Men. I'm your host, Andre Peterson, but joined by my fellow co-host. They're not trying to steal any gold medals from me. We're going to pass them all around, man. I'm passing the baton once again to my boy, JQ. You like that, JQ? How you feeling this evening, sir? You all right?
I'm good, man. Now tune into the greatest, like Jay say. Break it, the show started.
That's what's up. Without further ado, we also got to pass our other baton to our other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How you feel this evening, sir?
And I'm gonna catch the baton in the right zone, and we're gonna get this party started. Let's make it do what it do, fellas.
That is correct. No lane violations for us. We are ready to roll. So without further ado, let's kick it off. Let's give out our particulars like we always like to do. The number to call into the show is always at 424-243-9519. We are on Twitter. If you put in at the number 12, THMAN Sports, 12 Man Sports, you'll find us in that regard. And then last but not least, we are on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12Man Sports, or if you type in Talking Sports 12 Man, you will find us in that arena as well. Gentlemen, speaking of, you know, the Olympics and passing the baton, let's kind of talk about this. So we're going to kick it off. Rob Ford, let's talk about some of your best moments or memories from this Rio Olympics that literally passed, that wrapped up this past Sunday. So, sir, what are your best moments of the Olympics, sir?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of highlights for the U.S. This was our biggest blowout gap when it comes to the amount of gold medals that we have versus the competition, and also the large gap between the total number of medals versus the competition. So this was like our biggest gap between second in long time. So it's this was a great Olympics for the U.S. So there are a lot of great memories. You can talk about Katie Ledecky and how dominant she was in the pool. You can talk about Michael Phelps getting on to 23 gold medals in his history of Olympics. Obviously, you got to recognize Usain Bolt and his dominance on the track. Third straight Olympics, winning the 100 and 200 meters. And also Jamaica winning the 100 and 200 meters in women's track and field, too. So right now they are, you know, dominating when it comes to the sprints, of course, in track and field. And so, I mean, obviously those are some of the highlights. And you got to go to Simone, both Simones, when it comes to swimming, as far as African-American history as well, and Simone, of course, and the way she dominated in gymnastics, winning all around, as well as a total of four golds and, I believe, a bronze as well. So we had a lot of Olympians that were dominated, like I said, from Katie to Michael to Simone. And, of course, even though he's not an American, Usain Bolt, the way he dominated on Jamaica. And also, I got to give some props to both men's and women's basketball team. They were both dominant in gold medal matches. The women's were dominated from the beginning to the end. And the men came on strong toward the end with a 30-point victory over Serbia. Actually, that's the second biggest gold medal victory for our men's basketball team since we've been since the NBA players. That's the second largest margin of victory since the Dream Team when they won by 32 points in the gold medal game back in 1992. So those are just some highlights that I have.
Rob Ford, that was good, Rob Ford. I'm sorry, I was trying to like transition into JQ. Sorry about that, JQ. What were your moments that you had, sir?
Yeah, Rob took all my stuff.
That's what happens when you go first.
But, you know, just the history for Simone Biles and Simone Manuel, you know, just speaking from an African-American standpoint, What they did, fantastic, you know, breaking down a ton of the
barriers.
And also got to talk about Usain Bolt and the fact that he cut the reporter off so that he could listen to the National Anthem of America being played during his interview. I thought was pretty cool. And then he went and ruined it by being with the 20-year-old and having the girl twerk on him in the club, even though neither one was his girlfriend. So I ain't going to hate on him too much. You do go like that at 30 years old. I'm not going to complain. The one thing that stuck out to me, outside of what Rob talked about, is the fact that Brazil, the first ever gold soccer medal for the men. I did not know that, and that totally blew my mind. Given
that
how fervent, given how fervent soccer is in Brazil, in particular, that was their first one. So you know, shout out to Neymar and them. I know that dude there is not paying for a drink probably for 8 years. but outside of that, you know, and I got to give the women some love, because if you talk to our gold medal count and our overall medal count, not even real quiet, like the women showed up and showed out for us in terms of the United States. They did a fantastic job. You talk about track, you talk about gymnastics, you talk about swimming. I mean, they were all over the place. I just can't say enough about them. And I hope some of it carries over. Sometimes you don't get that carryover from the Olympics back to the States for everything that they've done. But yeah, just shout out to the U.S. women for sure.
Yeah, that's a great point about the Brazilian men's soccer team. I saw numerous interviews where they set out to win gold, and they must win gold in these Olympics. So they were definitely hungry as far as winning gold in the Rio Olympics on their home turf. And, you know, they're a dominant country when it comes to soccer. And based on my understanding over the years, most of their great players did not compete in the Olympics. But they set out. They set out to win gold in these Olympics, and they just did. They did just that.
Nice. Good call. And I love the fact, too, that you hit some good points, both of you two. I love the fact as far as Brazil. I love the fact that Fiji wins its first ever, like, Olympic gold. There's a nice little moment, Rob. But like you said, the Michael Phelps, the swimming Olympics track, Usain Bolt, you guys pretty much were right on target with a lot of those key moments to kind of share. So we've got the positive moments, and obviously it's going – and 2020 is going to be in Tokyo. I love the opening ceremonies, guys, and closing ceremonies. I think it's fantastic to see, like, athletes coming in there. That's what I like to see, those key moments, too, if we kind of, like, get away from the athletes. That's just kind of cool to see that as well. But let's talk about, really quickly, some of the most bad moments, if you will. And I don't think we said bad in the actual topics, but the worst moments of the Rio Olympics. I have a pretty good idea where you're going to go with this. I'm going to start with you, Rob. What do you think about some worst moments, if you can say, from the Rio Olympics, sir?
Well, obviously the situation with Ryan Lochte, I mean, that's an embarrassment, not only to them, but obviously to our country as well. And I don't know if anyone knows exactly what happened, but I think
nobody
it's pretty
knows.
Obviously whatever happened, he didn't tell the truth. And, you know, just tell the truth the first time and, you know, get it over with. And obviously that situation is a huge embarrassment. And also our men's track and field team. I mean, the baton. I mean, when do we lose to Japan in a 4x100? Japan, the Japanese, and won silver? Sorry to our Japanese listeners, but where have we gone?
Go ahead, Rob.
Where have we fallen when it comes to track and field? I mean, in the last three Olympics, obviously with Usain Bolt dominating the 100 and 200s, I mean, this is a sport where the U.S. men would dominate for years, and this is like the third straight Olympics that we have not. And obviously, where have our track and field fallen? I mean, we can't even get the baton passing correctly in a 4x100, got disqualified. Mm-hmm. Obviously, those are the two, I would say, disappointments or the worst moments for me from a U.S. Standpoint in these Olympics.
Mm. What about you,
Jake? And the mighty have fallen when it comes to track and field.
It's karma. I think a lot of it's karma, too, because if you talk about King as the swimmer, we couldn't think about last week, they called out the Russian swimmer for doping, and then she called out Justin Gatlin. for even not being, shouldn't be there. And he was like, I don't even know who she is. And he failed to even make the finals, I think, in the 200. He was a huge disappointment upon himself of all the hype and buildup that he tried to bring back to himself after being gone for 2 years. So he was a big one, too, for me, Justin Gatlin, because I totally agree. We normally aren't that bad in track and field, and it's a real slap in the face. And to the Ryan Lochte thing, you guys know that I am a conspiracy theorist at heart. My thing is, if you have to make a story like that to tell your mother, I'm just going to say it was either one of the two things, or maybe both. It was either drugs or hookers or both. There was something that went on at that gas station that was so bad that he had to say, you know what, we got held up, and he put a gun to my head. And then he still hasn't fully apologized. He said he over-exaggerated, which is just the worst thing. He's not even owning it. Good for Speedo and everybody else that has dropped him. But, he's a major disappointment, a black eye to us as a country. I had two other ones that I thought, not necessarily bad, but, you know, it just wasn't a plan. I forget what country it's from, but the buddy that fell into the steeplechase and dang near broke his face open falling into the steeplechase, I thought was crazy. I feel bad for him. You know, you train that hard, and then you just – now you're a meme, right, where you bust your head against the steeplechase. And Mongolian coaches, the Mongolian wrestler, he got cheated. But come on, bro, you can't get out there and strip down to your Speedos on the wrestling mat. Like, you just can't do that, man. This is all sportsmanship and all, you know, spirit of the games and whatnot. Like, I know you're mad, but you cannot take it that far. So those are a couple of black guys, I think, for the Olympics. But none so more from being locked in and Gatlin. Just two huge disappointments for the U.S.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Gatlin seemed tight the whole game too, man, or the whole Olympics. So I just knew that was going to be tough for him. And then, you know, like you said, Rob Lochte, that was terrible. They got cameras everywhere, man. And you talk about, I think what's best about Ryan is that
joker,
he was the first person on the plane, and he was like, dude, he was out, and then left his boys, man. You talk about, that's like gangster, man. I mean, that's like terrible. I'm out, man. Didn't even like, same thing on the first plane. So you knew.
He knew
like
trouble
said,
was on the horizon.
It was bad.
Yes.
He was the first plane out of there. Like, I'm out. Come on, dude. Lying. That's just terrible, man. So, yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, and they were dapping each other up coming back into the Olympic Village. Like, how are you going to come up with a story where you say we got robbed at gunpoint? And then, like you said, there are cameras everywhere. They get back to Olympic Village, and they playing around and mugging each other and, you know, and horse playing. It's like, bro, this is 2016. It goes to their state of mind of we're in this old impoverished third world country. They ain't got no cameras. Yes, they do, bro, and you are in trouble. And at some point it's going to come out. One of them dudes is going to say, you know what, we were looking for some blow. And dude told us it was at the Shell station, and they got messed up, and it got messed over. I firmly believe it was something like that. If you to come up with a story that outlandish, like you could have just said, man, I was drunk, and we just tore the Shell station up because we was drunk. And we would all be like, yeah, Ryan Lochte is an idiot anyway, but we would have forgiven it. But to come up with that kind of story about a city and their police and their authority, I feel like you guys said, we don't know the full story, but it's so bad they had to come up with a crazy story like that, and that was so easily to be disproved.
Yeah, not spend too much time on this, too, and I know, Rob, you're about to say something, too, but I was going to say really quickly, too, and this is kind of a weird thing I would say, too. It's going to sound really weird, but I got to say, even though the USA basketball team kind of won a couple things, I got to say I'm kind of disappointed in them because the way the team was constructed, and I agree with what Charles Barkley said in that, you know, you got like a team of like superstars together, but you didn't get a right fit as far as the roles. I mean, you know, it was like a lot of one-on-one basketball, and despite the fact that they won, I don't think it was a good cohesive unit to see that team, you know. I know, like you said, Rob, they were the second to beat, you know, next to the USA and went from the original Dream Team, but that wasn't fun watching USA basketball from that perspective. So I know it sounds kind of weird, but I don't know. It just didn't seem right from my perspective. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little crazy. I don't know if you want to comment on that, anybody, but that's just my thought about everything.
Well, one thing I will say, once they got to the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and the gold medal game, I actually thought the brand of basketball they played was a lot better. And and I know last week, you know, we talked about them playing a lot of one-on-one basketball, Kyrie Irving, you know, a ball-dominant point guard, those kind of things. But I actually think they actually played better basketball once they got to the quarterfinals and on. It just seemed like they had better flow offensively. They did pretty good defensively as well. I think they played more of a team basketball. And, you know, we pretty much all called out Kevin Durant on the show last week, and he stepped up big here in these last three games.
I didn't call him out.
Well, JQ and I certainly did. So, he stepped up big time, even in the gold medal match, scoring 30 points. And we knew he had to be the lead guy. You're arguably the third best player on the planet. You got to step up on this team and lead this team to victory. And Coach K, even with a dream team, he shortened his bench. He went down to 9 core players. And even with a team like this, when all 12 guys feel like they should be playing. So I think they played a better brand of basketball. And obviously, the thing you got to keep in mind, too, this team don't really get a whole lot of time to practice and gel together.
Right.
And so, obviously, it seems though they were just starting to come together as a team, and they came together at the right time.
And just real fast, I know we'll move on. I want to give Coach K a lot of credit because he got away from the all-star mentality. When he switched lineups and put Kevin Durant surrounded him with defenders like DeAndre Jordan and Paul George and Kyle Lowry, and he sacrificed some scoring prowess in order to be able to switch off those pick and rolls and play a better brand of defense and have and feed the offense through Kevin Durant is where you saw them start to take off in the medal round. So I have to give Coach K a lot of credit for that he wasn't, you know, too caught up in the moment of I got to play these stars. And, you know, when he took Carmelo and Kyrie and took them off that unit with KD and surrounded KD with just defenders and let KD be the focal point scoring is where I really think they start to take off.
Good call. We know that Carmelo's not the best, team player, but that's a whole other conversation. No offense out there to my Knicks fans. It's all good.
Another show, another time.
Right. Let them bask in his gold medal.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, love it. All right, so if you didn't know, America, we had our official 2016 first draft of fantasy football, so we're excited. In spite of some little snags on your boys' part, because apparently I have 2 IDs for Yahoo, and I was trying to log in the wrong one, so that threw me off. So I think I just heard Rob talk about it. Really, I was really pissed. I was trying to figure this out because I was on my phone. And anyway, long story short, Rob, talk about it, man. We had our first draft, sir.
Yeah. It was a fun time. Of course, they always are. So we're looking forward to competing with our listeners. We still have 2 more drafts coming up. Our next one, of course, will be this coming Sunday night. Those of you all in our league number 3, that draft will be this coming Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for our friends in the Mountain Time Zone. That's going to be 8 p.m. Mountain Time. And then league number 1, that draft is going to be Tuesday night. I believe that one's going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. So look forward to competing with you all and look forward to the drafts on next week, too.
Any thoughts, besides, you know, Rob taking your players? Go ahead, man.
Man, yeah, Rob was killing me. I was sitting there like, man, Rob, you're making me so mad.
But I tell you what, you were doing the same thing to me. I mean, I didn't say it on the phone. You know that wraparound when you get 2 picks in a row and then it's me?
Yeah.
You were doing the same thing to me.
And I want to say, Yahoo, if anybody from Yahoo is listening, listen here. I'm tired of drafting last, and I know I get to wrap around, but this random order where I'm always in the back half of the draft for like 12-man team leagues, I'm getting tired of it. It would be nice to draft like in the 3rd spot one time, just one time, just to mix it up, you know, just mix it up for me. Don't have me 11th and 12th every time. I'm just saying.
That's right.
I knew it too. I said it out loud. I said I'm going to be last. And I logged
2 of our show hosts were 11th and 12th in the draft.
Right. So you know we're not cheating you because we're going in the back half of the draft.
Oh, man. You can't say that out loud because that's putting that in the universe, JQ. You got to be like, yo, first. I was going to try to trick you guys to get the first pick, and then I was like, crap. I was like 7. I was like, well, I don't think I'm ahead. At least I'm above Rob and JQ. I was like, yeah. So that's what I was about. And then I got karma I couldn't even jump in the game. I'm like, you know, so that was my mistake. But, hopefully it was a good draft and you get a chance to redeem yourself, fellas, and it's going to be a fun year as well. All right, gentlemen, we got about 10 minutes left in the show. Let's kind of kick it in. You know, we're excited about football is back and we're going to kind of talk about that. And this is a pretty interesting story. kick it to you, Robin, that Antonio Kamari actually signs with the Colts, and I think this is one of the situations, you know, he's a former Pro Bowler, so tell me about your thoughts, and this is a good move, or is this more or less like, yo, depth, or what do you think his chances of, you know, playing with the Colts and everything?
Well, the Colts are obviously desperate right now. Their top two cornerbacks, Patrick Robinson, Vontae Davis, are out at the moment. Vontae Davis is probably definitely going to miss some time early, even in the regular season. And we're not sure about how long Patrick Robinson is going to be out. Obviously, Antonio Cromartie's had a solid career, but he is 32 years old at this stage. Don't know how much he has in the tank, but obviously the Colts are in desperation mode right now. They need some help on the back end of their defense. And realistically, they still need some help pretty much all over that defense. And So we'll see.
Yeah.
I know we're going to be getting into our AFC South predictions here in this show. And but, yeah, this is just a desperation move by the Colts.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, and the reports out of it is that Vontae Davis actually didn't have a boot on his foot. He had a cast. And that's a big difference between the boot and the cast. And I totally agree with Rob. That means he's going to miss some time, probably the first couple games of the season. And he was by far their best defensive player, so that's a huge blow. You know, Antonio Cromartie is out there because he's got a bad hip, as the reports. It's not good. So if anybody you draft, and whenever you see the coach on the ledger for your fantasy team, it's an all-star for your wide receivers. I don't care if it's the third wide receiver, start him. Because it's going to be tough sledding for the coach, I think. It's going to be tough. They spent so much money on Luck. It's going to be hard to spread that around to that defense. I just don't know if they can get over the hump this year because I totally agree that defense has so many holes. And the one guy you were counting on was Vontae, and then you take him out. And even if he gets out of that cast, how long is it going to take him to get back up to speed? You're talking maybe week five,
absolutely,
week six. What is going to be a record, 2-4, somewhere in there? So that's a tough break for the Colts.
Yeah, they keep having these because they were like the darlings whenever they had Andrew Luck that first season. You were like, man, he actually was doing things. They had a lot of positivity. They just keep having these little – and being from Indianapolis, guys, you know, Colts are kind of like, I keep an eye on them. They're one of my teams, so I know it sounds weird, but I just always have a peripheral about them because, you know, that's where I'm from, obviously.
You got about 12 of them.
You know what? You know, it depends on the moment, man. No, I got my Falcons that I stick with, but – you know, I said I keep an eye on them peripherally because that's where I'm from. But, you know, I was going to say they've gone through a lot of tough seasons. And
say that word
like,
again, Andre.
Mm-mm.
Tough.
Come
on, Rob. What did you say?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. No. I'm not even going to go there. 2000, go there, weren't you? 2000, say something about that. I'm not gonna bring his name up, man. All right, so we'll keep it going, man. We're not even going to go there, Rob. I'm not going to give you the satisfaction. All right. Anyway, it's gonna be an interesting season to say the least. So let's wrap this up. The Giants are gonna sign kicker Randy Bullock while Josh Brown serves his one game suspension. Rob, go ahead, sir. Talk about that real quick. We'll talk about the predictions here.
Well, I mean, Josh Brown obviously coming off a Pro Bowl season has been very good. He's gonna miss the first game of the season, which I thought was weird. They signed Randy Bullock for under a year contract. Obviously, these contracts will be made to be broken, but. That was interesting to me. And the Giants have been trying out kickers left and right. Garrett Hartley, I can go down a list. They must have been trying out about four or five veteran kickers. They finally settled on Randy Bullock and getting him in. I'm pretty sure it's still going to be just for one game until they get Josh Brown back.
Yeah, as long as the Giants don't hire the Cubs as DJ, you know, he won't play any inappropriate songs when Josh Brown comes back. But you just can't do that. You know, like 20 times, I think his wife said that she's complained about him beating on her, and he only got, like, one game. I thought that to be amazing that he only got one game when I read that, you know.
True.
I don't know how many times you officially called, but she said it was over 20 incidents where he had beat on her. And it's like, come on, bro, what's wrong with you? All you got to do is kick the ball. You get paid $1 million to do that a year. Why are you so mad? Like, you know, gangbanging on Bacon? What is the problem right now? I don't get it. I think they should have hit him harder. If Ray Rice can't get back in the league and you put the poster boy, and, you know, and I'm not excusing Greg Hardy because he doesn't deserve to have a job either, but you only get one game. And it's like a sliding scale because he's the kicker and you don't respect that position, so you just give him a game and you try to kind of, like, slide it under the rug. I think the NFL – missed an opportunity, and once again, Rob's favorite person, Roger Goodell, missed a golden opportunity to send a message of, I don't care who you are, as long as you sign to one of our franchises, we will not have this. We have a zero tolerance for this. And
yep.
One game is too light.
Yep. I agree.
Right, one of these days, y'all are going to agree with me that Roger Goodell is the worst commissioner that the NFL has ever seen.
We agree with you, Rob.
In all
the
sports
you,
I've ever seen.
I do not disagree with you. He has officially overtaken Gary Bettman from the NHL. He definitely has.
Yep. Easy breath. No worries. Yeah, go ahead.
Thankfully, football is beloved here in America, and they're still thriving. Still thriving,
right.
But not because of Roger Goodell. In
true
spite
indeed.
Of Roger
I mean, pretty,
Goodell, still thriving.
In spite, yep.
In spite of
call.
Yep.
Yep. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about the AFC South predictions. And this is, I mean, I was going to think it was going to be a little more challenging, but, you know, obviously it's going to be interesting to call this out because you got the Titans, the Jags, the Colts, and the Texans. And, JQ, I'm going to kick it off with you, sir. What are your thoughts as far as the AFC South and their standings and whatnot, sir?
So I'm going to be off the rail. And I think all of us probably think the Titans just haven't done enough yet. I think we've seen a good showing out of them. They're going to want to ground and pound and play defense. But I don't think they have enough to get over the hump yet. I still think they're fourth. I'm going to shock you. I think Indianapolis is going to end up being third. I just don't think they have enough defensively. And then with the injuries, it's going to really set them back much more. And I know Luck is the golden boy, but he can't do it himself. And the whole, you know, get down the slide, you're taking away some playmaking away from him because you want him to stay healthy, which I get. But given where they are as a team holistically, I just see them not being all that great again. I see them being third. It's close with them in the Texans between second and third for me because I don't know what you're really going to get from J.J. Watt with the back. I know he's a freak of nature. I don't really trust Brock as much. You know, he's a small sample size, so I'm still going to put them second. And I'm a shock. Mm-hmm. I think the Jaguars, I'm really intrigued by the Jaguars. I like the wide receiving core. You get a healthy Julius Thomas. You get Chris Ivory. They get Dante Fowler back. You got the cornerback from Florida State. They signed a defensive tackle from Denver. I think they've done enough in a very winnable AFC South. You know, 9-7 may win that division. I think that's what the Jaguars do, and I think they win it.
Actually, I'm going to let Rob take the second piece as we get ready for the OT portion, too. We got 3 minutes here. I'm just going to say I like the Jags. I'm going to switch and go the Texans second. I'm going to go Titans third. I'm going to go the Colts last, only because, like I said, I think it could be very interesting to see the Texans and the Jaguars because you're not really quite sure what's going to happen with Brock. I mean, he didn't have the defense of the Broncos yet. They got a lot of questions. I love the Will Fuller pick. He's been doing great in the preseason. Lamar Miller, you got to see how he's going to replace Arian Foster. You know, you got J.J. Watt, but he's kind of hurt. You know, you still kind of there's a lot of question marks. The Jaguars, they look like they're like on the right path now, man. So they're you know, I'm not sure. Like I said, I love the fact that Blake, you know, Bortles is doing his thing. He's got some good weapons. Their running game may not be as strong, but defensively they're getting built up. So that's my thoughts. Rob, you could talk about that. You got about, we're going to the OT portion. Talk about that, and then also set us up for the OT portion as well, sir.
So you're picking the Jags or the Texans, Andre?
Jags. One, Jags.
Jags.
Texans.
Both of you picking the Jags to win the division. Okay.
Yep.
All right. I got the Titans in fourth, and same as JQ, obviously. DeMarco Murray. And the running back, Derrick Henry, from Alabama, but I still don't have enough confidence in them to move up, but they definitely could be a team on the rise. I agree as well that I have the Colts in third place defensively, especially on that back end. I think they're going to struggle. And then you have a running back in Frank Gore that I think is getting up in age. Their offensive line is still not the greatest either. So Andrew Luck will have to work miracles in order for that team to be successful, so I have them in third. I had the Jaguars knocking on the door. I had them at number two. Offensively, with the Allen brothers, they can be explosive. We still have to wait and see how much better they're going to be on defense, so I have them in second place. I'm going to go with the Texans. I think this team is going to be loaded at the wide receiver position. Will Fuller has had a phenomenal training camp. He's played well in both preseason games. Put him with DeAndre Hopkins. Brock Osweiler has been performing pretty well as well. You add Lamar Miller, and they already have a great defense. I'm going to have the Texans in first place in that division. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. We still got more football to talk. We got the NFC South predictions. We have the NFC East predictions. We got some SEC, ACC college football predictions. So we got a lot we get into in the ZOT portion. We can't give it to you live, but click the same link on tomorrow. Let us know if you agree with us, disagree with us. Follow us, of course, on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, and then send us some comments on let us know if you agree with this or disagree with us. You won't hurt our feelings if you disagree with us. It's just good, clean fun. So definitely. And next week we'll be back on the air, of course, on Monday night, the same time, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. We'll be getting into more college football predictions. We'll even give you our Final Four and national champion and our Pac-12 predictions on next week. So you don't want to miss that. Good night, people.
I'm going to have to put a timer on Rob. I'm going to have to put a timer on Rob when I say 2 minutes, because, Rob, it's all good, bro. we're already in the OT portion. It's all good. It's all good. All right. Good call. Rob, like I said, I like we're talking about the great defense. I'm aggro, Jake. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen with Brock. I mean, that's a couple question marks as far as that, too. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out for sure, man. But I love the wide receivers, too, man, like you said. Good call. All right. JQ, let's talk about the NFC East predictions here. This is a pretty exciting division. Obviously, you've got the Cowboys, Redskins, Eagles, and Giants. So here it is, man. The floor is yours. What do you think about the NFC East?
Oh, man. This one is tough because I feel like they're so tightly coupled outside of the Eagles. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the Eagles at number four. I just don't think they have enough. They're still recovering from the dumpster fire that is Chip Kelly, so I'm going to put them fourth. Mm-hmm. 3-2-1, I think it's so close that I think it's really separated by a game, maybe two games. I just am not fully in love yet with Dallas keeping it going. I mean, I love Zeke and the offensive line. It's fantastic. But I'm counting on Romo until I see him do another 16 games. You know, Dak Prescott has looked really good, but it's still preseason. I still also don't think Dallas has enough defensively-wise. I'm going to go Dallas 3. I'm going to go with Giants second. They've tried to revamp that defense some. And, you know, when you got OBJ out there, you got a chance, and don't sleep on the kid from Oklahoma. He's been phenomenal, and they've been raving about him. And if they get him to take some of that pressure off OBJ and exploit some one-on-one coverage, I think he can fill that void for him. Shepard, I think it is. So I'm going to go with them second, and I'm going to stay with the Redskins. I think that, you know, I think Kirk has settled into what he needs to have happen. If they can get Josh Doctson earlier enough on the season, you know, but they still got Garcon, they still got Jordan Reed. And a little question is the running back, but they play enough defense that I think, yeah, and DeSean Jackson. I still like the Redskins, number one, but again, not by any stretch of the imagination do I think they blow that division out. I think that's really close, and I think outside of Philadelphia, you could jumble that 3-1, and I couldn't really argue with you.
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I would have to agree with JQ, obviously, with number four. I think the Eagles definitely look like the worst team in the division. They have a long way to go before they climb back up in this division race. Obviously, they got to get Carson Wentz developed. We know Sam Bradford is not the answer, and that's probably at least a year or two before you get some pieces in place, as well as get him developed to be that quarterback that they envision for him to be. 1-3, I totally agree. This is one of the toughest divisions. Obviously, I had a tough time in the NFC North between the Vikings and the Packers as well. This is another one that's been extremely hard for me to predict going forward. But I as well have the Cowboys in number three position. And I tell you what, and I think one of the reasons why I have him in number three, I think there's going to be so much pressure on Tony Romo, I don't think he's going to be able to live up to it. And I think he's going to be looking over his shoulder. You know how fans are. You know, you see a quarterback like Prescott, the way he performs in the preseason, the fans are going to be calling for him. You know, can Romo stay healthy? So I think there's just a lot of things. I think there's going to be a lot of things that's going to affect him and that team going forward. I have the Redskins in a number two position. I have them dropping down just a spot. I like the Giants moving up to the number one spot. I think Eli Manning is on pace to have a great season. Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, as JQ was just mentioning. I think defensively they went out and spent a lot of money. Obviously, we have to see how that comes together. I think they will be at least somewhat improved, at least to the middle of the pack. I mean, they were at the bottom of the league when it comes to defense last season. I think if they can get up to 15 to 20, and they had a pretty good offensive team last season, they can get in that mix, I think they move up in the winner division.
I could see that. Big snacks.
Yep, I can see that too.
They got big snacks in the middle.
And JBQ wants you, you know, JPP wants you to be safe around fireworks too, by the way. So, yeah, let's not look.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh,
you can prevent forest fires.
I agree with you, Rob, about your projection too, as far as Giants. But it's really close too, because like you said, JQ, I like the way that Kirk Cousins has been playing. He's got a lot of confidence right now. That's going to be a very tightly battle. And the word on the street about Philly, and that's sorry, Richmond. Rob, our shared friend Scott Richmond. He's ready for the winter era to start, but the world straight is Doug Peterson is world of trouble. He's not getting anything, man. So you feel like, the Eagles are trying to figure out themselves right now too, man, from the dumpster fire that was Chip Kelly. So, that's a whole other conversation.
The 76ers don't look that much better, Scott.
It's tough. Yeah,
shot
better
fire.
Keep going for the Flyers. Yep. That's right, JQ. That's all you need. All right, gentlemen, we officially have about 10 minutes. We got 10 minutes, and I'm going to start with you, JQ, on the NFC South, because you're the most objective right now. So I want to hear your thoughts about this. And then we're going to kick to Rob and then myself to kind of wrap it up. So, JQ, your thoughts on the NFC South. And I'm going to try to be objective as well. But, yeah, you're the least objective. So go ahead, sir.
I still think – and this is another one I think is going to be – it's going to be tightly coupled, where either 8-8 or 9-7 is also going to win it. Well, maybe not, because I think Carolina is still going to be good enough. I'm going to start with Carolina at 1. I think, being objective, mm-hmm. I think Carolina is still the team to chase in that NFC South. But I think in the past, was it 3 or 4 years that y'all have had a different division winner? So it's going to be tough for them to repeat, because it just hasn't happened really in the past couple of years. But I'm still going to stay with Carolina. I hate to do this to you, but I think New Orleans is number 2. I just do. I think Drew Brees still has got something to prove. They haven't given him his contract extension. He's gonna want it and prove that he still can sling it. I love the Michael Thomas addition. I don't know what happened to Sheldon in the middle there. I know he got hurt. I don't know how bad he's hurt there, Rob. But I think they're gonna have the ability to win some shootouts. Maybe not against Carolina, but against Atlanta and against Tampa. So I'm gonna go with them. I'm gonna go with Atlanta number 3. I still think I need to see Matt Ryan be more comfortable than I've seen him, and that defense just gives me a ton of pause. I like the kid from not Florida. Keanu Neal. In the middle
Florida.
There.
Florida.
Florida, yeah.
Florida.
But and Desmond Trufant. But outside of that, you're depending on the older Dwight Freeney, and Vic Beasley hasn't shown me enough yet. If he can make that leap, he can give him another edge rusher, but I'm not quite sure. So I'm gonna go with them third. But I could see that 2-3 between New Orleans and Atlanta being really, really close. And Tampa, I still just going to think it's going to take a little bit longer for Jameis to continue to make that leap, and they traded up for the freaking kicker, and he's just been abysmal in the preseason. I don't think that pressure is going to relent. As when you trade up to get a kicker, you can already tell he's feeling that pressure. He's going to miss some kicks that's going to cost him some games, I believe. So I keep Tampa in that 4th spot, but I think they are a team on the rise. But I think Carolina, and I take that statement I said back earlier, I think Carolina is still a double-win team, but I think 2 versus 4 is a lot closer. It's kind of like that NFC East where the 1 versus 3, I think that 2 versus 4 is the same in the NFC South.
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I agree. I still have Carolina in the number 1 position. To me, they still have the most overall best roster. I mean, their defensive line, when you look at the 3 defensive tackles now that they have on that roster, Damian Sharp, Star Latulier, and the kid they just drafted from Louisiana Tech in the first round. I mean, they're going to be a hard team to run the ball against. Their front 7 is going to be a beast, and they're going to need their front 7 to be a beast. Obviously, they let Josh Norman go, and so their cornerbacks are going to be a little young. That's where you're going to have to beat them. You're going to have to beat them, beating them in the passing game, beating them in the shootout. Because offensively, they're going to be very good as well. They're getting Kelvin Benjamin back. Ted Ginn is still blazing fast. I don't know if you saw that preseason game the other night. He just ran right through the defense, man. Outran everybody. And as long as he's catching the ball, I mean, he's going to be tough to catch. And so I still think they are number 1 in the division. I agree. My order is exactly the same as JQ's. I have the Saints. I think offensively, the Saints, you're going to see them right back up to where they were from 2009 to 11, where they were just almost unstoppable offensively. Michael Thomas seems like he's going to be an incredible addition. Brandon Cooks is on the verge of being a Pro Bowler, and Willie Snead as well. And then you throw in the Fleener from the free agent acquisition from the Colts. So offensively, they're going to be extremely tough to stop. The question is how much better have they gotten defensively. So far, it looks like they have gotten better, especially on the back end of their defense. They have to find another pass rusher to go with Cameron Jordan. That's what they have to do in order to be competing with Carolina. And I agree. I think Atlanta and the Saints are going to be in that mix, kind of close together there. And the same question you have with the Saints, same question you have with the Falcons, how much better are they going to be on the defensive end? And obviously, Mohamed Sanu, Roddy White should not have even been in the NFL last season. So that's a big upgrade for the Falcons when you look at that wide receiver position right there. Roddy White was not an NFL-caliber player on last season. And so that's a big upgrade for the Falcons. And as JQ mentioned, the Bucs are just not there yet. Obviously, Jameis Winston is mature beyond his years. At least now he is. Now that he's got out of college, but I think it's still going to take a while. Absolutely. So, but I think it's still going to take a while for them to move up in the division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 5 minutes here. I agree with both you guys. In Carolina is the team to beat. They're still number one. Yeah, of course, the 2-3 battle is going to come up. I'm not quite ready to give it up to the Saints just yet, man. So, you know, it could be either or. I mean, I'm like you, Rob. I mean, I know defensively there's some challenges, questions that we have for both our teams, both the Falcons and the Saints too, man. So that's where I'm like on the both sides too, man. Like I said, offensively, yeah, we look a little bit more comfortable offensively. I'm like you. I'm hoping to see something from Matt Ryan, but I ain't giving up to the Saints just yet, man. I'm going to go Falcons 2. Surprise. Saints 3, and like we said, the Buccaneers are always going to be fourth right now because of Jameis crazy legs, you know, Winston. Even though he's very mature and they're going to be a team to reckon with in the future, right now they're just not quite there yet. Let's talk about some SEC predictions real quick, Rob, and then I want to talk about get ready to wrap up the show, man, because we got about literally like 3 minutes here. So can you talk about your predictions really quickly? One minute, UJ, can we wrap up the show? So go ahead, sir.
Well, I know my cohort was going to call me a homer, but I'm actually picking LSU to win the SEC West. And they have the home game against Alabama this year. They're definitely the most talented team in the country. It's whether or not they're going to get the quarterback play to step up unless Miles don't blow it. But I'm going to go on a limb and say they're going to win the West. Alabama 2, A&M 3. Ole Miss still is the best quarterback in the conference in Chad Kelly. But they lost a lot of key players. They're going to be number 4. Number 5, Arkansas is going to be inexperienced on the O-line and at the quarterback position. Obviously, Mississippi State, number 6. They're losing Dak Prescott. That's a big blow. Auburn, number 7. In the East, they got to go with Tennessee. Josh Dobbs and their 1-2 punch at running back. Jalen Hurd and Alvin Kamara. Georgia's getting Nick Chubb back. I had them at number 2. Florida is going to be really good defensively, but they're going to struggle to score points this year. So I have them at number 3. Kentucky has got to have a really good defense. But offensively, they're probably going to struggle. They have a solid front 7. They got 2 studs at corner. Vanderbilt, they're good at linebacker, but they're not good nowhere else. They're going to be number 5. Missouri, number 6. South Carolina, Steve Spurrier left them, left the cupboard bare there. I mean, they have had struggles recruiting the last few years. So, I mean, obviously, Alabama at LSU, the big game of the year, November 5th. That's going to be for the division. That's going to be for the SEC, and I believe it's going to be for the national title.
Can you get it in 1 minute, JQ? Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. Except I would flip flop Kentucky with Florida. I'm a little bit higher on Kentucky this year. I think they're going to surprise some people, and people going to take it for granted because they feel like it's Kentucky football and they shouldn't take it seriously. But I will put Kentucky 3. But everything else, I agree. I think LSU defensively and all around has the best squad. It's just if they can find some decent quarterback play. They're going to be a load to deal with. And I think LSU wins the SEC.
Yep, I agree. I agree with all that, Rob. Good call. Rob, you got 30 seconds, man. Wrap it up for the show.
Next week, I promise, we're going to start off our show with ACC. We've been putting it off for about a month. We're going to start off this first thing. We're going to talk about ACC, Pac-12. We're going to give our college football prediction. It'll be the last show before the college football season starts. I promise we'll do that on next week. Good night, people. 11 p.m. Monday night, Eastern time.
Yes, sir. We just go ahead and do it. It's Clemson, folks. It's Clemson. So there you go. ACC prediction. Thank you guys for listening to us. We'll get a little more in depth next week, but I think everybody knows it's Clemson.
I agree with that, but Florida State's going to be really good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good call. I agree with that, too, JQ. Clemson and Florida State are probably, like, battling for that, too, man. That's what we like to do, man.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that, JQ. Fire the first shot. Once again, thank you, folks. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure passing the baton with you guys, man. As always, man, check us out next week. Like Rob said, we'll see you same time, same channel next week. Dre out.